Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of QSR Uncut. I'm your host, Danny Klein, the editorial director here at QSR Magazine. Ben is a little bit tied up in some things, so you just get me as a host today, but we make up for it because we have two guests at once, so I think it's not to knock Ben, but I think you'll be happy with the substitute here. So we are joined by Heather and Jenny of Spork Foods, and we'll also talk about their new fast casual Hey, Sunshine Kitchen. And I put the word "comma" in there, obviously, because you can't see it, but I don't think anyone says that way when they speak about it. But regardless, Heather and Jenny, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time. I'll give you a chance here before we get started. Just introduce yourselves. Maybe tell us a little bit about your story, you know, how the brand, you know, came to be. I think we're talking more than two decades. I believe from what I read, you were vegans as teenagers, so this goes back very far. But I'll open the floor to you all just to talk a little bit about yourselves and set the stage, and we'll go from there.
Great. We're very excited to be here. Thanks for having us. Our journey started, I'm Heather and this is Jenny, and our journey started when we were very young. We were about 5-6 years old when we told our parents we're ready for some cooking classes. So there we marched a couple blocks down from where we lived, and we took these beautiful classes, and we came home with our tiny little food and shared it amongst the four of us. And we were very excited to be cooking. We were very inspired by our mom, who always loved to have us there in the kitchen with her, cooking along with her.
Yeah. And then we did make the choice to go plant-based. Now it's called plant-based. Before it was called vegan, about 23 years ago. And then at that time, there weren't as many products out on the market. And you really did have to cook and make a little more effort if you wanted your food to taste really delicious and as flavorful as what you remembered from before. So that's kind of what sparked our passion for vegan cuisine. And we made this life path choice just by becoming aware of our environmental impact, the impact that being plant-based could have on our health, and then our impact on the animals, and helping to end animal suffering through our own personal choices. So that was all really inspirational to us. And then we started our cooking school, which was called Spork Foods, had that for 15 years. And now here we are and opening Hey Sunshine Kitchen, which is called Hey, Sunshine Kitchen. Anyway,
I gave you a marketing
idea. We're happy if you're talking about it. So
that's a very brief strokes.
Yeah.
A little history there.
Well, I think I'm interested if you go back to when you made the decision to become vegan. You laid out a lot of reasons there that I think are very common now, of course. And, you know, if you meet someone and they're vegan, and I don't think anyone even bats two eyes. But 23 years ago, however, what was it like? You know, I mean, were people did they think you were crazy, or, you know, telling you like nobody's doing this? Or I think in California, probably maybe a little easier than some places, but
Yeah. We were definitely the outcasts. We were
fringe,
different, and people didn't really understand the choice. It was kind of shunned upon. We were sort of, you know, we would have these Thanksgiving meals with, you know, big family, you know, gatherings, and we would bring our own little tiny vegan meal, and, you know, it wasn't a comfortable place to be. So to be perfectly honest, Jenny and I have been waiting for this vegan moment to come. We've been waiting for the world to be as excited as we are about plant-based eating and veganism in general.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see from whence it came, for sure. And, you know, at the time when we made the choice, you know, there were certain populations, you know, there's a very strong vegetarian population amongst Buddhist cultures and, you know, in a lot of other parts of the world where this cuisine is not seen as fringe. So we tended to veer more in that direction when we would eat out, or, you know, you kind of find your people. I went to school in Santa Cruz, which was, if you know anything about it, it's a very hippie place to be. So I felt pretty at home there and learned a lot. And it kind of just depends on who you're with. But the reason we started our school was because we wanted anyone who was trying to make the choice to cook vegan, to make it really delicious, to help them then spread the word about how easy and delicious it could be so that it doesn't seem as fringe.
Yeah, talk a little bit before we get into the fast casual here about the cooking school, the cookbook, and how you really tapped into a market. Because I find that, you know, fascinating. I always pick up you know, healthy eating cookbooks at places. I think it's one of the harder things to do if you don't really have an idea of what you're doing. And then also you look sometimes and you're like, wow, it's a lot of ingredients. You know, on the fringe, it seems like it's going to cost a lot, but, you know, there are ways to obviously not fall into those traps. But I mean, did you just see a, you know, a huge demand really once you got that going in terms of people who were really craving learning more about something that they probably wanted to make as a lifestyle choice, but maybe just didn't have the tools to really follow through on it or stay consistent?
So in 2007, when we started our vegan cooking school, we knew deep in our hearts that the only way this business was going to be a success was if we made food that every single person loved. So it was a huge challenge. We weren't just cooking for vegans to enjoy. And so we provided an environment that was very warm and welcoming. There was no judgment. We presented our ingredients in a way that was, this is what these ingredients are. This is how great they are for you. This is what they do in your body. And this is how they're going to make you feel, right? And then we taught people how to prepare them. So because of our love of just being with each other, people wanted to come and spend time with us and be in our kitchen, and just the excitement we have around this subject, our passion, people were kind of drawn towards that. And, you know, eventually people really became very passionate about it as well. Most people were not vegan that came to our cooking school. They were brought by a spouse or a cousin or a friend, sometimes very begrudgingly, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. And then by the end, you know, you get to see personas change and minds open, and it's really cool. So yeah, we had an amazing experience. So we've written two cookbooks. One of them was called Spork Fed because our company was Spork Foods, and the other is called Vegan 101. And with that one, we use the opportunity to kind of lay the groundwork and just set a really great basis for anyone that wanted to dip their toe into eating more plant-based foods, to just like how to sub out dairy alternatives, how to sub out meat alternatives. And we gave both a pre-made product option, which is more expensive, but then also like a purely plant-based option, which tends to be like beans and lentils and things that are actually really inexpensive. So you can go in a few different directions, just like you can when you're eating non-plant-based, right? So if you want to eat more organic, it's going to be more costly. So even with this concept with Hey Sunshine Kitchen, we actually made a standard where we're all non-GMO. Because if we went all organic, it would be so cost prohibitive for most consumers that we're just keeping in mind our clientele and kind of what could appeal to them the most. So we've always kept our people in mind.
So if you're like me and you got to start with one of these two cookbooks, which one should I get? Or should I just get both of them?
I think Vegan 101, you know, it says it all. It's the beginner's guide. And there's something in there for you, I would say. And there's something in there for, you know, people who are new to cooking, and also for chefs who, you know, want to just explore a little bit further.
Yeah. Less ingredients in that recipe book for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like my children don't eat anything. So, you know, it's not like I would have trouble getting them to eat something different. I think my wife and I talk about that sometimes. It's like, well, she currently doesn't really eat, period. So we might as well put carrots in this mac and cheese.
Well, it's funny you mention it, because we had the same experience with our children. We both are mommies of young children, and we actually developed a food product and sold it to Follow Your Heart. It was a boxed mac and cheese. And instead of a traditional cheese sauce, it was made of beans and nuts and vegetables. And that was actually in grocery store shelves across Whole Foods across the country for a number of months or years. I can't remember. So we've always snuck in nutrients to, you know, every child wants to eat noodles, but we're also using that concept in a Hey Sunshine. We're momming every person who eats with us. We're sneaking kale and things. We're sneaking vegetables, because honestly, we need those nutrients in our body. We need them to make good choices, to be aligned, to tap into, you know, who we are and what we need to do on this earth.
Yeah. We feel you so hard.
I know it's a struggle. So tell us about the decision to get into the restaurant space itself. You know, obviously I talk to restaurateurs a lot, and I would say that I always admire the fact that they're willing to do this.
Yes.
and deal with all the, because no one is better at putting out fires than restaurateurs, right? Because something is always burning. But tell us about that, you know, kind of taking that leap, you know, and making that call and how it's been thus far.
Yeah. So basically we know it's a wild decision. And what we wanted to do was, we've always had a calling towards opening a restaurant. It's something that we've chatted about for years and years. Even when we had the school and we loved it, we always wanted to take our food into this kind of context so that it could reach a broader audience. And that just, there's an inner drive, there's an inner goal that we always try to function in our business, where we kind of quiet our minds and just kind of listen to what our gut tells us. And when we do that, and we're more following that, we feel like we are confident in our decisions, even if they're very outrageous, like opening a new restaurant concept. We just love it every day. And this is something that we kind of couldn't deny within ourselves. So that's where this came to pass. We just had this inner drive and vision, and we have been making it into a reality.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about what makes it, you know, kind of unique. I mean, there are a few, I would say, plant-based concepts at the market, you know, probably none at legitimate scale, you know, because I do think it's a hard, you know, concept to grow quickly, of course, because you're very focused on it being, you know, to a very high standard. But just kind of walk us through the brand itself, you know, even maybe starting with the name and how you came up with that. I think it seems to, just talking to you, it sounds like your personality, like, you know, written in words. But yeah, tell us about the branding, you know, the creation of it, the menu, and just other things, you know, to know about what it's like and how it's coming together.
Sure. So Hey Sunshine Kitchen you nailed it. It really is who we are. You know, the warmth of the sun is the feeling that we want you to get when you walk into our door. We want you to walk in as someone new that we meet, and we want you to become a friend or a family member as you're leaving. And that's how it feels. That's how, what we wanted. And that's sort of the vibe that we've been putting out. On a little bit of a deeper level, we believe very strongly that every individual that's on this planet Earth is here for a reason, and they have gifts to give that no one else has. You have gifts that I don't have, and she has gifts that we both don't have. And we think it's really critical for us all to tap into what those gifts are, connect with them, and give them to the world. So to shine your brightest, as cliche as it might sound, we think that that is truth. And our food is, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to open a restaurant so people can shine their brightest, be their best, and make the world a little better. We've got a lot of work to do here. Mm-hmm. And we feel that. We have a planet to give to our children. And it's our responsibility to be our best selves. And so what we're trying to do is, you know, our food has a lot of different color, a lot of flavor, a lot of layers to it. You'll see if you go on our website, our bowls are just layers of colors. And those different colors have different nutrients that are feeding us internally so that we can, you know, shine our brightest.
Yeah, shine is a core value of ours. Can you tell? We love it.
So, you know, our core values are shine, compassion, and drive. And it's who we are. This is our authentic selves. We're being us, and we don't know who else to be.
Yes.
And so just in doing that, we've been able to draw in a clientele who feels it. You know, a lot of people who come to the register say, wow, this feels really good. We have this kind of gradient wallpaper throughout the space. It's just a warm and welcoming environment, and it gives you that warmth.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do. Are we always successful? I'm sure not.
Yeah, but we're 6 weeks in at this point. So we also, with regards to the menu, we wanted to have a range so that we could have some meat analogs where if you are first time not really willing to go out on a limb and try something like chickpeas because you're more familiar with meat, you can go in that direction. Or we have really clean options. Like one of our most popular bowls is called the Avocado Crunch Bowl, which is literally a half of an avocado with black sesame seeds around it and like tons of incredible veggies. We make something called the Sunshine Rice, which is a turmeric garlic rice because turmeric is a really amazing anti-inflammatory. So we're just incorporating these ingredients that are not only visually appealing and taste delicious, but also have some health benefits sneakily.
So you mentioned you opened 6 weeks ago.
Yes.
How long was that process of, how long did it take just to come together? I mean, I talked to some people and it's, you know, they think they're going to be open 2 weeks and 2 years later, they're still trying to figure it out.
To be honest, it took us 4.5 years.
Right. So yeah, I think that's more common than probably people realize when they have this dream.
It is so much more common. 2 years, I was like, wow, someone did it in 2 years. That's amazing. I want to talk to them.
Yeah, we started looking for real estate pre-pandemic. So then that put a little wrench in the plans. Maybe next time, if there is a location too, that will be 2 years. But
the pandemic did give us a lot of solid R&D time though. True. So we're very grateful for it. We're grateful that we didn't sign a lease right before the pandemic. And my heart goes out to all of the people who did. That is a real challenge. It took a really long time. And, you know, for us, it was really important as a fast casual concept to have very easy and simple parking. That was something that was a non-negotiable for us. And finding a place in LA where you can jam in there and park without having to get a ticket and go underneath and the whole thing, that's a real challenge. And so we had these elements to what we needed that we had to have them in order to give ourselves, you know, a shot at being a success and then opening, you know, further locations.
So what's the response been like?
You know, it's, honestly, we've been so lucky. We've had like a wonderful response. We've gotten like a lot of incredible reviews already and had the community coming in. We're in Culver City, which has a mix of residential and business community to it. So we have been very lucky to have both the daytime customers from local offices and then also families coming in. And I mean, the response from our customer base is magnificent, and we have regulars that have come almost every day, tried everything on the menu, and it's really amazing. It warms our heart every day.
I think the best part that we've seen is our goal to bring in non-vegans, non-vegetarians. Yeah. We're getting in the meat eaters like crazy. I would say we're getting more meat eaters than plant-based eaters. And that to us, that was our big goal, because we already know that the vegans are going to come, right? And thank you very much for those of you who are watching that are vegan that are coming. We love you so much. But it's really been very, very exciting to see the Yelp and the Google reviews saying, I'm a meat eater. I came here begrudgingly because someone took me, and I'm coming back tomorrow and I'm coming back the day after. And it's not that they're just saying it. We're seeing people come every single day and then bringing more friends in. So that it's been a very beautiful thing to witness.
Yeah, I'm scrolling some of your social media as we speak. And I guess, Heather, it was your birthday yesterday.
So yes, it was.
but yeah, you know, I'm not too surprised by that, because I think, you know, generally speaking, a lot of people, as I mentioned sort of earlier, who are meat eaters, sometimes it's just by routine or convenience that we, you know, didn't know how to not be that way.
Right.
And, you know, there is so much opportunity in showing somebody something else. Because I think most meat eaters can understand the health benefits of what they're giving up. They just, it's not in front of them, you know, most of their lives. So,
right.
You know, I think that's why there is a lot of room to grow in this space. It's just that it's hard. I mean, I'm watching like a video of someone making a dish here, and, you know, it's a lot more difficult than flipping a burger when I'm like a 16-year-old. But
yes. The 16-year-olds are working very well, though. They're working hard, and their little minds are open to this. You know, a lot of our staff is not plant-based, not vegan, not familiar. And so at first, the first week, they were trying the burger only. And then now they're like building little bowls and getting creative for their staff meal, because we want them to shine too. We want them to, you know, experience the benefit of this. So it's really cool to see for our staff as well that they're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, I didn't think I liked vegan food. I'm like, why'd you work here? But we're happy to have you. And I'm so glad you do, you know?
Yeah. Well, I bet the 16-year-olds working in restaurants today are a lot different than they were when I was 16 years old in terms of what we see in like food and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those cooking shows in the last 10 years have really made our teens very sophisticated with their palates.
True.
So what is, what's been your schedules or, you know, how, cause that's one, that's another, restaurant entrepreneur thing people don't understand is that they don't quite often realize that when they open their first unit, that they are, investing in a job for themselves.
It's true.
Yeah. It's major. Yeah. We're planning on being there pretty much every day for the first 6 months. And if after 6 months, we feel like
we still need to be there,
we're going
to
do it. This is our baby. This is our thing. You know, we're trying to get our staff in place so that we can take a day off once a week. We tried that yesterday with my birthday. I wasn't in the office.
They did great.
And everything was okay.
So we haven't been back there yet today, so we'll see. But I think it's going well. But yes, it's a commitment. It's a 7 day a week commitment. It's at like, I'm not going to say 24 hours a day, but I'm going to say pretty darn close in the beginning. When we're not actually in the store, of course, we're working on how to, you know, do marketing or what the staffing stuff is, scheduling, ordering, all the things that are the nuances of helping a restaurant function,
or cleaning up the flood after the hurricane. I mean, there's always something.
Yeah.
And so I would say we get 6 hours of sleeping time, and the rest we are constantly figuring out what we need to do, how to be better. And we're still learning, you know, we don't have all the answers. So we're also taking the time to educate ourselves, talk to our mentors, talk to our advisors, and really try to solve the problems that we can early so that we can have a sustainable model that will grow. That's obviously our goal, is to grow. We don't want one store. We want to make a really big impact on the planet for our children, yours included.
Yeah, come to North. You got to go all the way across the country to feed my kids.
Okay, well, we'll do it. We've down. Traveled there before.
Yeah, so, yeah, this job is no joke. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You're going to cry a little and whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
Or a lot.
Yeah. Or a lot. But, you know.
Yeah, to that point.
The little part.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, I mean, what's been, would you say, the biggest surprise or lesson in these first 6 weeks of what it's like to run your own restaurant?
There have been probably a lot of surprises. Oh my gosh, all the lessons, all the surprises. I mean, I think it's a true lesson in like following your gut, following your inner guide. Because honestly, we knew, even though we have some restaurant experience of the past, we have, but not in this level. And we had never taken your concept from a thought in your mind and making it into a reality that goes every day. I mean, that is that's a crazy process, you know? And so I think the lesson that we keep, you know, that I've learned is to just trust myself and my gut every day. And if you do that, like, and you're listening, then really, honestly, even if you do mess up and even if things go awry,
which we do,
absolutely, then at least you know that like you're doing something that feels good and resonates with you on like a deeper level.
You know, I think I've been surprised at the amount of times, you know, we're training our staff. We're training them not just how to make our food, cook the dishes, interact with customers, but we're also teaching them our culture, who we are, who we want to, what we want to provide to the world. And, you know, we have these, you know, we said our core values drive compassion and shine. So we've made these little pins, and every morning we have a morning meeting. We do take 1 minute to quiet our minds. We do for lack of a better word, we meditate together as a staff before opening. And it's really just to let our muscles relax and just
be in the moment,
to be present with mm-hmm. each other, appreciating we built this thing. We're here together. Let's have a great day, to set the stage. And you know, it has surprised us how many times you have to reiterate the things that you need and the things that you want. It's not to anyone's fault. It's just when you open a restaurant, you want things to be done 110%. And because of that, we have been surprised at how many times we are reiterating ourselves. Yes. We feel like a little Groundhog's Day sometimes.
Yeah, we had training as mommies. You know, we've had a lot of training with little ones, but it's beyond that. It's a lot.
Yeah, and that's okay. It's just, it was a surprise to us.
That is true.
Yeah, you know, I feel like in the last, for me personally, a lot of what you just said has been the thing that's been the most growth that I've had to go through as a manager. You know, I had a scenario pretty recently where I, for the first time, I'd hired everyone on staff. And it's, so I wrote these, I wrote like a mission statement and core values and, you know, showed it to everybody. And it was just like, they looked at me like I was crazy, you know, and to your point, you know, you have to constantly kind of say something because you, you know, I always feel like, you know, as the, you know, if you're usually in a position at the top, it's your responsibility to dream bigger than everybody else. But it's hard then to kind of expect everyone else to do that right away. So you really have to keep giving them that to go after. Otherwise it's, you know, they probably aren't going to do it. It's been hard to listen, to kind of endure that at times, but I've come to realize that's the most difficult part of a workplace.
I'm so happy to hear that resonates with you, because it makes us feel a little less alone, truly. And I also do believe that everyone's doing their best. You know, the high school kids that are working, they're going to school and they're out with their friends. They're living a little life for themselves. Some of our staff are working 2 and 3 jobs and, you know, everyone's doing their best. So we don't get frustrated or upset. It's just something that we're going to keep trying and just keep refining and figure out how we can do it better.
Yeah, I think restaurants historically have always had a challenge with that because of the cyclical nature of the workforce. Mm-hmm. You have people who come for 2 months and leave, and that's okay. But and again, you're trying to get them to buy into a vision that means everything to you.
True, right.
And then you're just cycling it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't hire at in June when we hired, because you're getting into summer, right? And then everyone's got to go back to school. But the thing is, when you do the interview process, everyone says they're available for
the fall,
that they can work in the fall. And then surprise, they really aren't intending on it. So that's a challenge for sure.
I've been there too.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that always comes up too, very common, you know, kind of in touch on things of this nature, but going from 1 to 2 locations is typically, I would say, restaurateurs say that's the hardest thing you do, you know, going from 2 to 3. And then at that point, it's just you're opening restaurants, but 1 to 2, very tough. So, I mean, is there a point where you, like, what do you, trying to get to get to that moment where you say, okay, now we're ready? Or are you always thinking about it in the back of your mind? Or how do you just know that it's time to take that
That's
leap?
That's a great question.
We're still baffled by the fact that we got 1 open. So we're like living in that at this
moment.
Yeah,
I feel like, you know, again, just trying to listen in and like follow our gut and kind of understand when that feels right. We still have a lot of steps that we need to get in place. Like, we haven't even started our catering menu yet. We have other aspirations for this particular model that we want to nail. And then if we can get those up and functioning and have them functioning for a while, and we're seeing kind of the patterns that are revealing themselves for the business, then I think that that will feel right. But we also know that real estate takes a long time to get. So you have to think about these things before you're actually ready. So that's a little dance that we will do probably, hopefully, in a few months.
I think when it feels like it's flowing, like we're always searching for the flow, because the flow is when things feel good, and the flow is how you know it's right. So we're not there yet. We're still in the bumpy stages. We're still like, we have our seatbelts buckled, but yeah, like
my helmet is on.
Yeah. And I'm not ready to take it off yet.
No.
So once we get in the flow, I feel like that's when we're going to start looking for location two. Because I don't want to take our attention away from store one. Because once you start looking for store two, you're out at locations, you're looking around. It's less time that you're donating to store one, which is like the most important store of your career. You know, if that's how you feel, that's it feels the most important to us. So until that's completely cultivated and in the flow, that's when we're going to start looking around for store two. I do believe, we believe in the magic of the universe. We've already had people come to us. So many real estate brokers have come in and been like, and just eaten there and been like, are you, is this a franchise? Are you, what are you doing? What, here's my card. I feel like store two is going to come in the door. I don't even know that we're going to have to go out and find it based on what we've experienced already with brokers coming in, but I could be wrong.
And if you have advice for us, then we're all here.
Well, I would say that story that you mentioned, I've heard that a lot. Typically, I think a lot of brands, some of the biggest brands out there were originally grown by fans of the brand, you know, versus, you know, investor groups, so to speak.
Yeah.
So they organically expanded at the start, you know, by people who walked in and said, I really want a franchise. And then those people ended up being really good franchisees, you know, assuming that they had some experience. But to that point, I think that that's a, you know, a story in this industry that that is pretty common, you know, in some of the more successful concepts that have managed to do that. But I think as anything, you know, the owner operator model, when you have something that you care about, is usually the where I would say you should get started. You know, someone who cares as much about the mission as you versus someone who's just trying to, you know, make money.
Yeah.
But I don't think you'll run into that, to be honest. I mean, I think what you have here is not something that someone would step one foot into. That just doesn't strike me that way. Plus meeting you. I just don't know that that would happen. You'd be good. But I have one quick question before I let you all depart here. So if I'm walking into the restaurant, and so for anybody out there, since you all are so new, I mean, what would be the kind of hero thing you might say that you should order on your first visit? I would probably order this Mediterranean chickpea bowl myself, but you know, say someone's coming in for the first time, what would you suggest?
If they enjoy spicy things, we recommend the Fiesta Carnitas bowl. So that is actually a jackfruit carnitas that we make. And jackfruit, when it's young and it's green, has an insanely remarkable texture that's similar to pulled pork, right? So that texture is so satisfying. That has a bunch of amazing spices in the mixture and that heat. So if you like the heat, I would say hit that bowl. It's so good. It has beans. It has corn, it has cabbage, it has tomatoes, and then we make a jalapeno crema. So that one, it's very satisfying. And then we top it with our own organic corn tortilla strips that we make. So we have the crunch in there, we make our own house pickles, and it comes with a lime wedge. So you got your acid, you got your crunch, you got your base of your sunshine rice, you got your veggies on there, and the heat. So that's my rec. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think and if you don't like spicy, the Mediterranean chickpea bowl is totally the jam. We worked on R&D on that Mediterranean chickpea patty for years, maybe. And so it's people are trying to understand what it is. It's very hard to describe because it's something that you've never tried before. So we take chickpea flour and we mix it with onion and carrots and spices. And it's actually kind of fluffy. So it's baked into these lovely savory cakes that we chop up and put on top of our bowl or our salad, or you can get it with a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
What am I missing?
And that one has like an aioli that goes with it. It has mint and cucumber. It has marinated beets. So if you want like fresher, more Mediterranean flavors, that's the way to go.
Mediterranean is all the rage now too, especially in fast casual. Of course, you know, we have a million kavas over here.
Okay.
We used to take a sister trip every year for about a month out of the country. And one of the most special sister trips we took was we found ourselves in Greece for a month on the beaches, eating and drinking and experiencing life. And it was very impactful for us. So when we think of that dish, we think of our beautiful trip to Greece and what that provided.
Yeah, it doesn't sound terrible. Did you go sans children?
Oh yeah, this is our pre-party. Yeah.
That's probably why you remember it fondly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There will be a time again to travel, but now it's
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm waiting. My kids are like 10 years old until I go anywhere like that. I think my son is 19 months and my daughter is 4.5.
Okay. Yeah, so, wow. You're in it.
You know, even going to lunch is painful.
It's true.
I'm impressed you could even record this podcast right now.
Yeah.
I go into the office for that reason. we still drive in, you know, because my house is just, I can't lock the door enough to avoid them.
Understood.
So, you know, is what it is, but it is good. Well, Heather and Jenny, thank you so much for joining us. I think obviously we should definitely touch base in maybe like a year when you and see how things are going. But really good to introduce the brand and definitely be following along.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you. Thanks for all the work you're doing. It's such a great place for people who are curious about this industry to really get the truth and to really just understand what it takes. So you're providing a really big service because this really isn't
free
for everyone, but it is for a lot of people. So you're really doing a great thing for the world.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Normally when we get feedback, it's people yelling at us. So it's always nice to hear a nice thing. So thank you all. And for everybody out there who's listening, as always, we appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.